All right, so at the bottom of page Yod, I believe, right? Something along those lines. So let's start from the bottom of page Yod. I want to keep on moving a little bit. It's a Shtikel Harish Musa right now, so I guess it's the time of the year. So, okay. So Nachmal, so he's talking about as you know, the importance of Pnimis HaTorah and so on. Ukumay Shomber Medrash Mishlei. So he continues on. So there's a Medrash in Mishlei, Al Pasuk. That's a pasuk in Mishlei, Lo Yarav Hashem Nefesh Tzadik. That Hashem doesn't won't cause the nefesh of the tzaddik to go hungry. Okay, Vizel Shain. This is what the Medrash says. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, Barei Kama Kasha Yom Hadin. See how difficult the Yom Hadin can be. B'chulu. What do I mean? So how Rabbi Shmuel Omer? So Rabbi Shmuel, you say, Oylai Sebusha, Oylai Sechlima. It's going to be Rachmanis on the Bizyonis. So he says, "Bami sheish ba." Thank you. Bami sheish ba the mikra. So a person's going to come, and the person has mikra. A person has chumash. Maybe other mishnah. He doesn't have mishnayos. In other words, you know, a person, whatever a person has, there's more to learn. Bami sheish ba the shnei sedarim. Person has two sedarim of mishnayos. Still missing. Bami sheish ba the halachas. Person has halachas. He's still missing. Bami sheish ba the Taras Kahanim. The person knows Taras Kahanim, Kodshim, and so on. Still missing. Bami sheish ba the heichum shei Torah. It's interesting, okay? It's also missing. Bami sheish ba the Haggadah. The person knows Haggadah, Haggadata. Still missing. Bami sheish ba the Talmud. So that sounds like, okay, you got everything. Talmud means you got everything. But then the Rabbanu Shalom says, "Bini, my son, if you're able to reach that level of knowing Talmud, it's a piece of the Merkava. Did you look in the Merkava, in the chariot? It's a piece of Yishir Kaimishli. Did you see how, you know, the details of my stature? And I was like, Partsufim, the Oilamas, and so on. It's a piece of Agaivishli. Did you see my greatness? Sheinli Hanoa Bailami. The only Hano that I have in my world, says Hashem, El Bishosh, Talmud Chacham Yoshim. Yoishmin va'iskin umabitin matzisin v'royin v'hoigin hamayin atalmud hazeh. My greatest hanah, the only hanah, is when Talmid Chacham sit and they gaze and they contemplate and they think about this learning. In other words, what's this learning? Kisei kvoidi heichuay made. Where's the kisei hakavod? Chashmal heichuay made. Where? How does the chashmal work? Barak b'chulu kruv the higher worlds. Gedoyla mikulam. Different descriptions of the higher world. So isn't that my greatness and my honor? My honor, my greatness. That's the greatest covet of Hashem when people study these things. So in other words, what's Rabbi Shmuel saying? So Rabbi Shmuel is saying is that, you know, it's an interesting thing that the Rabbanu Shalom describes. It's interesting. Like once the person, you know, sort of passes the test, you know, Chumash, Mishnah, Halacha, Gemara, and, you know, the person's all of that, then it's interesting how Hashem describes, then Hashem begins, then Hashem says to him, Bini, my son, if you studied all of that stuff, so then did you learn Pnimis HaTorah? It's interesting, like, why that Lashon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, Bini. So that's what we've been seeing until now, that the term Bini, my son, in Chazal is a code word for those neshamas that are predisposed to this, right? So in other words, as Hashem is recognizing, you know, with this particular neshama that comes to Olam Emes, so Hashem says, you're Bani, you're one of my sons, so Pnimis HaTorah would be appropriate to you. And he says that the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have any Hana in this world besides Talmidei Chachamim that are Isaac in these sugyas, right? What the Gemara say? Ein loy lekadosh baruch hu ba'olam yeldad am shalach v'levad. Right. So it's interesting that where the Rabbanu Shalom live. I guess we have to think about this more. But the Gemara says that the Rabbanu Shalom, the only place that Hashem has in this world is dalad am shalach. In other words, learn. Let's nigla. Let's learn Gemara. Let's learn halacha. But this Medrash says that the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have any hanah in the world unless it's the study of Pnimis HaTorah. So it's evidently it's two separate things. It's where God resides, a place suited for Him. That's Dalad Am Shalach, and then it's what the Rabbanu Shalom enjoys.
I think the full context is Miyam Shachar Abisamikdash.
Yeah. Like right. Miyam Shachar Abisamikdash.
The Baal Shem Tov said that, yeah. that notion that the Yiddish only exists in Dalad Am Shalach is a tait
from the Chachar Abisamikdash. Okay, very good.
Also, it's not where Hashem is in halacha, it's in the Dalai Lama halacha. So what does that encompass?
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost seems as if the entire purpose of this world's creation and the whole mahalach is to, so some of us will be lucky enough to be mistaken and think about these things.
So yeah, so it's nesavak gishbaruch elias leis baruch dir b'tachtoinim. So a person can live somewhere, but they don't really enjoy where they're living. They don't feel, the Gemara says that there's a certain chain that a person has in where they live. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam, this world is a place for God to live. But nesavak gishbaruch elias leis dir b'tachtoinim means that the Rabbanu Shel Olam didn't just want to live here, but nesavak, it means he wants to. He wants to live in this world in a way that it fulfills his taiva, that it fulfills his, that it gives him pleasure. Pnimis HaTorah is the Hanoah. Nigla is establishing the place. The Tachlis is for them to be together. And then that's a Dir B'Tachtoinim that the Rabbanu Shalom will fulfill his taiva in. So in other words, what I'm saying is that, again, going back to the theme that, you know, that I'm, I guess, trying to plug, which is Nigla and Nistar together. Nigla and Nistar together. I think that's the Torah of now, like that inyan of Nigla and Nistar together, because that establishes the Dir B'Tachtoinim. Again, Nistar doesn't necessarily, on its own, in its purest form, might not necessarily make Dir B'Tachtoinim, because it's not Tachtoinim. It's a study of the Kisei HaKavod and the things that are above. How do you make this place a Dir B'Tachtoinim? Through learning Nigla, which is how this lower world is able to be a fitting place for Ratzon Hashem. But when it's just Nigla without Nistar, as we've been seeing, then it's not lichtig, like he described before, that when your person learns Torah Nigla without connecting it to Nistar, then it's Shemayim, that it's like it's Torah Min HaShemayim, it's Ruchnius, but it's not lichtig. So that could be a dira, but it's not exactly what Hashem's dream house was. You know what I mean? It's not exactly what it's not fulfilling his taiva. It's like after all that effort, you know, then you finally go into the, like, you had this dream about this inyan is gonna make you happy. You know, you spend your whole life trying to get to that thing, and then once you get to that thing, it's like okay, what's plan B? You know, so it's like the Rabbanu Shalom dir b'tachtoinim is through shas and paiskim 100%. But the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want a dira. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants a dira that fulfills his taiva. Nisavak Gishbaruch. Why does it have to say Nisavak Gishbaruch? The Rebbeinu Shalom, that's what God wants. Ratzak Gishbaruch, Elias Lay Dira, was Nisava. Nisava means that he wants a dira which is a dira that gives Hanoah, that fulfills a taiva. Doesn't just fulfill a command or a will. A dira that fulfills a taiva. And that's what Chazal are adding over here, that it's Nistar that brings the Hanoah. So when you have Nigla connected with Nistar, as we saw previously, then that's a Dir B'Tachtoinim which fulfills the Taiva of Hashem.
That's because Nistar is from the highest place, which you have to draw down.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's the Chiddush of the Dir B'Tachtoinim that fulfills a Taiva, that it gives Hanoah, is when it's when the Rabbanu Shalom comes down here in this world, but it's still familiar, so to speak. You know, it's still... It still has the same.
It's home.
Yeah. For Atzmusai, right? That's in Chassidus. That's always the way it's explained. The Chiddush of Adira Tachtoinim is that Adira is not somewhere that you have your things. You know, it's where you live. Atzmusai. So when you have Nigla by itself, you know, there's that's what we speak about all the time. That there's Iris of Hashem. There's a light of Hashem. The energy of Hashem. And there's God Himself. The space in which God Himself resides is when Nigla and Nistar come together. And that's that yichud. That's what I'm saying, just connecting the two chazals. Miyom shachar beis hamigdash, because that really, that's what the beis hamigdash was. Or that's, you know, again, it didn't, you know, obviously it didn't last forever. But the beis hamigdash is that place of the ochet shmai v'ara, where heaven and earth come together, where Nigla and Nistar, you know, where they come together. That's where.
The
fact that it's not forever meant that even at the time it wasn't 100% b'shleimus, obviously, you know, that when the day that it was, Shlomo Melech built the first Beis HaMikdash with tunnels underneath, preparing for when it'll be destroyed, to hide the Aron. So what are you doing, right? So it's like, if you have, you want to get insurance and things like that, you're building a Beis HaMikdash, you can build a Beis HaMikdash, and the same day you're going to build it with... The answer is that they knew. They knew that it wasn't the full thing. They hoped that Klal Yisrael would be Zaycha, that the first Beis Hamikdash would automatically be established as the third. You know what I mean? But we were able just to skip ahead. It didn't work out like that. But the inyan of Beis Hamikdash is this inyan of Dir B'tachtoinim in a way that fulfills the taiva. That's what the Kahanim, and the Avodah of the Kahanim of the Beis Hamikdash is a very unique thing. It's Machlokas Rishonim, but the Pashtus, Sheetus of Tosfos, and a few places in Kachim, and the Rambam also says the Pashtus like this, that the Kahanim, even without getting into that, you don't have to be so complicated about it, but the Avodah of the Kahanim is very much connected to Machshava. Very deeply connected to them. They have to think certain things. They have the wrong thought, then it's puzzle, then it's pug. Which is very interesting, because usually when a person does a mitzvah, so if having the right thoughts or not, that's a mila, it helps. If a person's shaking with an esrog, right? So, according to many Rishonim, mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana. So if a person's doing a mitzvah, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even think about why they're doing it. They're still yitzah. You did the act. So, but all of a sudden, so fine. So now you want to make the mitzvah better. So you want to make the mitzvah better. So you think the right thoughts, have kavana, and so on. But even without kavana, you still did the mitzvah. When it comes to the avodah of the Beis Hamikdash, it's not like that. Obviously, it demands activity, it demands action, and the precision of kachin is extremely demanding. That's why Brisker is, there's a reason why Brisk is drawn to it. Right? The precision is very, very strong. But at the same time, all that precision is empty, mamish empty. In halacha, it's empty without the kavan of the kain. The kavan of the kain has to think the right things and the right reasons, the right intentions in order to for the avodah to work. And if he thinks the wrong things, then with all the diktuk and all the precision, the mitzvah doesn't. It's possible. So it's such a unique thing. We don't find this anywhere else in Torah, because the answer is because the action is nigla, the thought is nister. Right? I see what you do. I don't see what you think. That's private, right? The fact that in Kachin by the Beis Hamikdash, those two worlds of that which is revealed, that which is hidden, are united, that they're mamish partners together, is because that's what the Beis Hamikdash was, a place of dir b'tachtoinim that fulfills Hashem's taiva, right? That's why it's called the Beis HaBechira. Why is it called Beis HaBechira? The Rambam, it's the Hilchas Beis HaBechira. Why is it Beis HaBechira? So Beis HaBechira means because it's the place that Hashem chose, right? So, okay, I don't know. Chesed Hashem chose that. Why is it called like that? The Rambam describes the mitzvah. It's interesting. I think we spoke about this once before. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he says, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to have a Beis HaMikdash. What's the mitzvah, technically? So Rambam says, it's to build a bayis l'Hashem in which there'll be karbonis, and you'll go to be Oile Regel three times a year. That's pretty much what the mitzvah is. So we build a house for Hashem. But yet it's called Beis HaBechira, not because it's house that we chose. It's because it's house that Hashem chose. So it's like, in other words, because you can make a house for Hashem all you want. Mm-hmm. So the mitzvah is, let's say there's a mitzvah on me to make a house for you, mm-hmm. right? So I can do it, I could build it and everything like that, but mm-hmm. if you say no, right, and you don't enter into the house and say, you know what, okay, Taka, it feels right, then I did all the hachana, but I didn't do the thing. The thing is to make a house for you. It's not your house if you don't go in. So what's interesting about the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash is that it's a partnership. There's no way to fulfill it unless we build. The mitzvah is for us to build the house for Hashem, but it's not called the house for Hashem unless he comes, unless he chooses it. The Shechanti B'Soichem. The Shechanti B'Soichem is a piece of the mitzvah. That's the completion of the mitzvah. That's what, it's a well-known Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, how the third Beis HaMikdash will be, right? Rashi says in a few places, it'll descend from heaven. But the Rambam seems to indicate, doesn't ever mention that, the Rambam is that you have to build it. It's a mitzvah to the Beis HaMikdash, but to sit and wait for it to come down from heaven. But the answer is that even the Rambam, it's called Beis HaBechira. Why? Because Hashem has to choose it. How does Hashem choose it? Well, how are you going to know? Okay, so in the first Beis HaMikdash, we know Hashem chose it because there was like a fire that came down. Like, there were clear indications that Hashem was happy. Second Beis HaMikdash, harder to find. There's still some miracles there, but it's harder to find exactly the indication that Hashem was happy. But probably Bashkacha brought this, the fact that Hashem allowed it to be built. That was an indication that Hashem chose it. With the third Beis HaMikdash, how are we going to know that Hashem chose it? So we're not going to be satisfied with, since the third Beis HaMikdash has to be forever, And that foreverness of the third base of Migdash indicates that Hashem's choice in the third base of Migdash is not just quantitatively, like long term, it's qualitatively deeper than any other previous base of Migdash that he chose. And the way that Hashem is going to show that he chooses the third base of Migdash in such an extreme way is, like Rashi says, that there's going to be this spiritual Beis HaMikdash descending from heaven, partnering Beis HaMikdash El Maila, descending to the Beis HaMikdash El Mata. So it's not a machlagis Rashi Rambam. They're both true. And as the mitzvah is, V'osuli Mikdash, V'shechanti B'saychem. V'shechanti B'saychem is how we're mekayim the mitzvah, V'osuli Mikdash. What does it mean? How is it V'shechanti B'saychem? How do we know it's V'shechanti B'saychem? As they said, the first Beis HaMikdash had its signs of how Hashem chose it. And then the Eden can say, okay, fine. The second Beis HaMikdash had its signs, and the third Beis HaMikdash is going to have its sign. But that's, but again, the Beis HaMikdash is a place where heaven and earth are literally seen as one. That's Nigla and Nestor together. That's Yirut HaTachtonim in a way that it makes, that fulfills the Taivim. Okay, so he says, Hari Mavur B'Feirish B'Divra HaTanoyim. So what do you see from the words of the Tanoim? She'en Adam Yotzei Dei Chavosei Legamri, the Esek HaMikro Mishnah God of a Talmud, that a person does not fulfill their obligation in Talmud Torah, just with learning, you know, Chumash, Mishnayis, Gemara, and so on. Elu Mechuyiv Lasa B'Kol Yecholtoi B'Sisrei Torah U'B'Maisim Rekava. A person is Mechuyiv to study with all their strength, Sisrei Torah, Maisim Rekava. Ke'en Anolak Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Kol Masha Baruch Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Yilomai. Because again, like that's what the measure says, that Hashem doesn't have any pleasure from everything He created. Unless it's through His children down here learning secrets of Torah. Again, that's the irony of it. What are they learning in Gan Eden? Also secrets of Torah. So what does He need the people down here to learn secrets of Torah? That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is when you're down here learning secrets of Torah, that's the Yirut HaTachtonim. That's establishing a Yirut HaTachtonim.
Is there a possibility to go from the other way? Someone that just got into previous. And they have to work their way backwards.
Sure,
right?
Sure. We gave
just that penimius without.
No, that's selfish. Right. It's selfish. A person just learns penimius without nigla, then why are you doing it? Because it's iris. That's selfish.
Right.
Huh?
You have no kill. You're holding on to anyways.
It's also true. I'm saying, but it's a selfish endeavor. Nigla, if a person learns Nigla alone, at least it's not selfish. You know, at least you're learning about how to fulfill God's will. You know, it's not lichtig, but at least it's not selfish. But whereas learning Nistar by itself is, it could be. I mean, again, I'm playing both sides of the field, you understand? but it's good sometimes. The answer is both, neither, you know, you need both together. We spoke about this, I think, once, that an example of someone, it's hard to know, listen, it's hard to know 100%, but at least in terms of this person's Rav is an example of someone who his first career in terms of being part of the Shalshal Samasaira, again as an individual, I don't know what is, you know, from the Rav, you know, but in terms of his career and being part of the Masaira, the model of Rav is the reverse order. Rav started off as his name was Abba. So the Masari is that he was none other than the Rav Abba, who was the student of Rishim Baichai, who was the one that was Rishim Baichai told him to write it down. Whereas Rishim said Torah, Rabbi Lazar repeated it, he was the Chayzer, and Rabbi Abba, the student, was commanded to write down the Shir. No one else was allowed to say anything, they weren't allowed to Chaz, they weren't allowed to write enough. So Rabbi Abba was told that. So Rabbi Abba was Rav. So this is when he was very young, evidently. Later on, after studying by Rabbi Shimon, then he became part of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Bezdin, and he was considered to be one of the youngest of Minyana de Rebbe, or not youngest in age, maybe just in stature, one of the Minyana de Rebbe. He was one of the, he was on that Bezdin to establish Mishnayos, to organize Mishnayos. So, and then eventually he went to Bavel and he established the yeshivas in Bavel, Talmud Bavli. Which we'll see later on, the tradition is that it was everything that was taught in Talmud Bavli was rooted on Pinimis HaTorah, because it started from Rav primarily. There's other Avi Shmuel also, but Rav primarily. And Rav himself, his career began as the one who was Mefitz Zayra Kadosh. He was Rav Abba. So you see, again, on a personal, by the time, listen, to get to Rav Shimon, Mestama, he knew Shas and Paiskin. I'm not, you know, his Rav. But in terms of his career as part of the Mesaira, the first job he had was in Pnimius. And the second job, by Rabbi Nasi, later, years later, was in Nigla. So usually it's Nigla and then Nister, but sometimes it's Nister and then Nigla. So, you know, the Rabbanu Shem fear developed. You know, every neshama has to learn Kol Torah Kula. So the question is, you know, we've spoken about this before. You know, when this measure says that every neshama has to get up there and has to answer the question, did you learn all of Shas and all the? So, listen, you know, it's not so simple. Of like, we've all been here many times. Our neshamas have been here many times. So collectively, the neshama at the end of the day has to answer these questions. Yes, right. At the end of the day, you have to be able to say your neshama again, with all of its, you know, incarnations, has to be able to say, I learned Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Kabbalah. You have to be able to say all of that. But not every lifetime do you learn everything, right? So that's what the Svarim say, that Hashem plants in every neshama sort of a magnetic pull to that particular portion of Torah that their inyan is to learn at that lifetime. So that's why so there is such a phenomenon that a person in a particular lifetime, their inyan is to learn Kabbalah. So they're not going to be drawn to Nigla. But again, you still have to be well-rounded and you have to learn Nigla. First of all, just to be from, you know, to keep Torah mitzvahs, you have to be able to know what to do. So and also just for the Nigla, for the Nister to be anchored Lamata, for it to be Dir Tachtoinim, you have to have that quality too. But primarily, but there is such an inyan that a person's primary inyan is Nister. That's 100% true. Ruchaim Vital was like that. The Arizal told Ruchaim Vital. Ruchaim Vital was a guy notzim, and Nigla also. I think he was a guy notzim. I mean, I think he was also like, I don't know if he was a chief rabbi of Damascus. He was like a Marah Hira. It was Ruchaim Vital. But Ruchaim Vital once complained to the Arizal. He says that I don't have a cheshik for Nigla. Like, I learn it, but it's not my. So the Arizal said, that's okay. In a previous life, you were the Mishnah Melech. So as the Mishnah Melech, you're Yotze. It's one of the main commentaries in the Rambam. So you're Yotze, your portion in Nigla. Now, in this lifetime, your inyan is to learn Nister. So you still have to keep your starim, you know what I mean? But that's your primary, and that's okay. Yeah, okay. I guess we'll stop with this. Huh?
Better worse is Chazara.
Yeah, yeah.